Welcome to the Messy Walk Podcast with Pastor Adam Cook, where our goal is to have a genuine and authentic conversation about the Christian faith journey and what a messy walk with Jesus really looks like. Make sure to follow us for future episodes that will be posted regularly each Wednesday. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Hey, welcome to the Messy Walk Podcast. I'm your host, Steph, here at Pastor Adam.
Hey, hey, hey.
Hello.
It's always awkward,
it's like,
isn't it?
Silence.
It's always awkward.
It is always awkward.
We've actually been doing it that way now for a little while, right?
We haven't.
We used to do, I'd go, hey, hey, and you'd just jump right in. And then lately, we've just been like, just sit there for a second. Because what you're doing, it's a conversation. So what you're doing is you're letting people who are listening say, hey, and I'm James, and I'm here, right? So it's we know what we're doing.
Yeah, we were professionals.
We planned that.
Like,
you know, I was listening to, this is so crazy. We'll start over. I was listening to the blooper reel, our 200th episode blooper reel.
Oh, yeah.
With Malin. My youngest daughter is listening. I just told Stephanie this, by the way. My youngest daughter is now obsessed with the podcast, which I think is so awesome.
That is so awesome.
Because my other two could give a rip. And that's saying a lot, too, because my oldest, Olivia, she's into all things like this. She listens to Christian podcasts all the time, but she don't listen to dads. And I joke with her about it all the time. I'll pick on her. She'll send me something. She'll be like, Dad, you should listen to this episode of this podcast. I'll be like, well, you should listen to your daddy's podcast. But, you know, I'll mess with her. I'll make her feel guilty. She'll be like, shut up, Dad. I'll listen to it. And I'm like, it's okay. I'm just joking. You know, but Madeline, our youngest, she is obsessed with it. We've been driving to Alta Vista, which, if you don't know where we're at, it's like 45 minutes away from here. It's like 50 minutes from our house. We've been driving to Alta Vista for these ball practices, softball practices, and she has been asking me to listen to the podcast, which is weird listening to yourself, you know, in the car, right? You know, for a while, but she's really into it. It's just really funny. Why did I say this? Why did I even bring this up? I don't know why I brought it. Oh, no, I brought it up to say, just now it made me think of, when you were saying we're professionals, we know what we're doing, it made me think of, on that random blooper reel, I said, started from the bottom, now we're still at the bottom.
True.
Say, we know what we're doing. We're professionals. Anywho, welcome to the podcast.
Welcome. Welcome back.
That might be our weirdest welcome ever. Welcome.
Maybe.
We're glad you're here.
So, let's go on into the series.
Go. Just check, take us in.
So our series right now is Reasons You Don't Share the Gospel, and we are focusing on what keeps you from sharing your faith.
Yes, and today's is, which is actually really funny that we just did what we just did.
That is so funny.
It's not easy to bring up the conversation.
Sure ain't.
We're actually going to get into it. It's,
sure isn't.
We actually just gave God just helped us give a great example of what's going to happen when we start talking to this. All right, so we've spent some time in all of these episodes. All we're doing is this is our eighth one. We're talking through reasons that we don't share the gospel. And the reason, this has been on my mind nonstop for a long time. And for the last couple of months, it's been everything I've done. I've been preaching on it. We've been podcasting on it. I spoke to a middle school FCA group about it. I spoke to a high school FCA group about it. I spoke to our youth ministry about it. I mean, it's been like, I can't get away from it. And it's this thought of that the Great Commission has always been for every single Christ follower, not for pastors or leaders. And so why is it that we're not sharing our faith? So we spent some time going through and figuring out, all right, what are the reasons that people give for not sharing their faith? And so we've been walking through all these. This is our last one. We have one more, but it's not in this context. It's going to be a bigger thought. It's not going to be a reason anybody gives. These are reasons that we give. This is going to be like a big underlying reason of why we don't share our faith, not a reason that we can really even think through on the next episode. So this is our last one of these sort of, they're basically ones that we got through a survey that was done, a research survey done through the Jesus Film Project, where they asked people specifically, why don't you share your faith? Why don't you, why don't you tell other people about Christ? Why don't you make disciples, right? Why don't you live out the Great Commission? And these are the reasons people give. And so this last one is, it's not easy to bring up the conversation. So we spent some time through all these other episodes talking through the awkwardness of this. We've talked through, especially in the beginning, the first couple episodes, we talked about being prepared to steer the conversation towards faith. Being prepared to steer the conversation towards Jesus, right? And we talked several times about the easiest way to steer the conversation is to ask someone at some point how you can pray for them, right? Or to be able to take the cue. Somebody says that they've been struggling with this, and you're able to listen and then go, well, I used to struggle with this, but Jesus has really helped me, right? Or this particular scripture verse has really helped. So you're prepared to steer the conversation. We talked about this a lot. But it can feel a little icky, right? It can feel a little to segue a conversation towards faith. And so what you and I just, what you just witnessed from me and Steph was a sloppy, weird, I don't know, awkward segue, right?
Yes.
A segue is not that little thing you ride around with the two wheels on it. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Like, that's not what we mean when we say segue. By the way, I'm pretty sure that the person that invented segue died on a segue. Anyway.
That sucks.
I think the guy that invented a segue drove a segue off a cliff accidentally. But regardless. So that was
sheesh.
Weird. Anyway, a segue is where you transition from one segment to another, mm-hmm. right? The term is primarily used in like media and books, writing, those things, where you take up one segment and you go to another segment. So when you segue in a conversation, you're segueing from one topic to another. And so it can feel awkward to do it, right? And so that's exactly what you just experienced on the podcast, is me and Steph went with a, hey, welcome to the Messy Walk podcast. And then we got
silence.
And then we got a segue to what we're doing today. And it can just be awkward sometimes to make segues. And so it can feel icky sometimes to take a normal conversation with someone and steer it, segue it to a conversation about Jesus or a conversation about faith.
True.
Because it makes you feel weird, and like it's forced and it's awkward, right? Like somebody's talking about, you know, my dog did this yesterday. You'd be like, well, you know what? Jesus didn't have a dog, and let me tell you about Jesus. You know what I mean? Like, it can be weird and forced and awkward. It can feel like sometimes you're just, you don't want to segue it the right way. You don't want to bring it up. It's not easy to bring up the conversation because you're going to come across like you're not listening to the person. You're just trying to get them to Jesus, right? You're just trying to move the conversation to Jesus. And because of that, it's easy to abandon the idea of sharing your faith altogether. Right? Because it is awkward. It can be awkward. And so the awkwardness of it, the ickiness, the feeling like, you know, I don't want to come across like I'm just talking to the person so that I can share Jesus with them, it ends up making you kind of walk away from trying to do it all together. But like, all right, every time I try to share the gospel, every time I try to share my faith, every time I try to talk about it, it comes across weird and awkward, and so I'm just going to not do it. Right? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And we naturally do that a lot with all kinds of stuff. Anything that is awkward for us to talk about, we usually just don't talk about it instead of pushing through the awkwardness. I actually think that one of the best things you can do in communication with any person that you want to truly communicate with is to push through awkwardness, right? It's an important thing. Like if you're married, you're going to have to push through some awkward moments if you want to actually be, you know, in intimate conversations with people, right? Your brother, your sister, whatever. I mean, how many times have you talked to a family member and you got to, you know, you want to talk about something serious and you got at some point, it's going to be a little awkward. You got to be able to push through it. You know what
yeah.
I mean? Like push through it. Like, I don't even know if you realize this, Steph, but like when you and Jonathan come in for podcast recording, we sit around and we talk a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's always a little awkward at first, right? Y'all come in from your day. I'm coming from my day. And we're just kind of just sitting there for a few minutes.
What's
and
new?
Even though we've right. Exactly. Even though we've known each other for forever.
Yeah.
And it's like family. It's still like that awkward. So.
You also don't want to like overshare.
Yeah. So. And that's with people you're super comfortable with.
Yes.
Right? Super comfortable with.
True.
You still end up feeling like this. So, how was your day? You know what I mean? Like,
how's your family?
All that is an awkward segue in the conversation. So,
that's true.
Anything we feel a little, I don't know, in our communications with people, you're going to have to push through some awkwardness in general if you're going to genuinely be in real communication with somebody, right? If you're going to have real conversations that actually matter, you're going to have to push through some awkwardness. I really do fully
it's
believe
true.
That. But so I don't think that you can take out this reason. I don't think this reason is going to really disappear, right? I don't think this thing of, you know, it's not easy to bring it up, I don't think that's going to go away. I think it's always going to be there. Because anytime you try to talk to someone about something serious, right, it's going to not be easy to bring up, you know. It's much easier to bring up. You know, you've ever thought about, like, when we talk with people, why we say things like, you know, just standing around with someone. Like, you think about, like, going to a work function or a Christmas party or something. You're standing around, and you're going to be like, so, the weather's been nice outside, right?
Yeah.
Like, we talk about weather.
It's been
we don't
cold
care about,
outside.
We don't care about weather, right? But we talk about it because it's awkward, right?
Filling the space.
Yeah, that's what we do. So I don't think you can get rid of that. I think that's always going to be part of this kind of situation, because it's easier to talk about something that's not important. It's easier to talk about something that's not deep.
We want to be in agreement about something.
Yeah, yeah. And but deep things are serious things, you know, hard things, big picture, big life, depth of heart things. That's faith stuff. That's hard to bring up, right? It can be awkward. It cannot be easy to bring it up.
Vulnerable.
Right? Yeah, right, because you're vulnerable, right? And so that's not going to go away. Right. That's
not
going.
It's
not going to go anywhere, because I'm sitting here literally telling you that you already feel this in regular conversations with the people that you're closest to in life, even not about faith. Anytime you bring up something serious, something deep with depth, it's going to create some awkwardness.
Yeah.
It's not going to be easy to do. So this is not going to go away. Right.
It's not.
What I would like to do is present a better formula. Right. A better formula than you talking to somebody and waiting for the perfect opportunity to segue or steer the conversation to Jesus. I'd like to give you a better formula. And that formula is, instead of just sharing, how about care, then share? This is something you can actually remember. Don't just look for an opportunity to share. Decide that you're going to care, then you're going to share, right? So care comes before share.
That's right.
Were just talking about this a few minutes ago off the air. That care comes before share. Like, what I mean when I say care, be genuinely interested in getting to know others and learning about their lives and their stories and actually care about their lives, right? Because I don't know if you've ever heard this old adage. I don't know where it comes from, but it's like a little nugget of wisdom. It probably roots back to the Bible, but because most of them do. It's actually interesting how many little nuggets of wisdom we have in our culture that actually root back and they're from the Bible. People don't care about how much you know until they know how much you care.
That's right? True.
In other words, people don't care what you have to say, what your input is. They don't care about none of that unless they know that you care about them. And when somebody knows that you care about them, then everything changes where they actually want your input. They actually care what you think. They want you to share, then, is what I'm trying to say. And so the idea of getting rid of the awkwardness, I don't have no real easy tools for you to do that with. But what I do know is what will change the whole game is if we care before we share. Be genuinely interested in a person's life. Get genuinely interested in their stories. Genuinely interested in who they are. Care for them. And if you will care for them, because all that really is real friendship. If you'll care for them as a real friend, then there'll be natural opportunities for you to share the good news, not these forced ones, right?
Right.
Not these ones where you have to steer the conversation or you have to look for the perfect segue or, you know, you're trying to bite on whatever they say. You know, this goes back to another one. Like, don't listen just so that you can speak back.
Yeah.
Right? Listen to really listen and to understand. And if you really do that, if you really care for someone, then you'll be able to actually share at the right time. Like, natural opportunities will come if you will care for somebody and invest in their lives, right? Somebody far from God, somebody who doesn't know Jesus, like purposefully invest in their lives and care for them. You will get natural opportunities that come up that aren't weird that you can share, right? Like, just because you befriend someone, you will start talking about like things, simple things like your weekend, right? So if you become friends with somebody at work and you truly care about them, then you'll find that they will end up going, yeah, we did this weekend. They'll start sharing their life with you. And then they'll be like, what'd you do this weekend? Because they actually care about you too. And then you have the opportunity to go, well, we did this. And then Sunday we went to church, right? Now, all of a sudden, you're naturally sharing that faith is important to you. And that's just saying going to church. Like, I saw this happen yesterday with my kid. Kids do this really well, by the way. They actually care about the person that they're talking to. They're actually interested. So we go to Dollar General on the way home last night. We had a long day at church. And if you don't know, yesterday, and now when you listen to this, it'll be a week before. But yesterday was our Compassion International Sunday at church, which is where we try to get a bunch of kids rescued, you know, out of poverty through Compassion International. And that's the whole focus, right? And so we had a former Compassion International child, they call him alumni, who is grown now. Her name is Kiwi. She came from the Philippines, and she has now, you know, grown up, and she comes and shares her story about being rescued out of poverty and what that sponsorship meant to her and how it changed her life and all this kind of stuff. It's really, really cool. Like, it's the coolest thing ever. And so that was yesterday. And so my youngest daughter, Malin, who we talked about earlier by accident at the beginning of this podcast while we were trying to segue, she was very moved by it. So we go home, and then we had youth last night. So it was a long day. So at like 8 o'clock at night, Madeline's been with me at church since 7:15 in the morning, right? We stopped by Dollar General because I do not want to eat leftover pot roast, all right? Like, I don't want to eat pot roast when it's fresh, much less when it's leftover. And so I'm like, I've had a long day. I'm going to stop by the Dollar General and get me a frozen pizza, right? And so we go in, we get a frozen pizza, and we go up to the counter, and I'm just ready to get home. Like, I'm not paying attention to nothing. I'm just ready to get home. And Madeline's tired. Like, she's told me multiple times, Daddy, I'm tired. It's been a long day. We get to the counter, and we're checking out. And I'm not paying no attention. I'm just letting the lady scan my frozen pizza and my Reese's pieces that I grabbed, you know, and some candy for Valerie. Them Ghirardelli chocolate squares. Valerie loves those things, right? And I'm about to put my money in and pay, you know. And Malin goes, well, I've never seen you before here. Are you new? She's talking to the lady behind the counter. This is a 9-year-old, almost 10.
I think that's sweet.
Right? And the lady goes, well, yeah, I haven't seen you either. I am new, only been here 3 weeks. And then Malin goes, oh, I knew I didn't recognize you before because we only just see this one guy and this one lady. And then the lady starts telling her the names of those people. And like Malin's like, yeah, I think that is their names or whatever, right? And then she goes, do you like working here? I mean, all this is happening in the course of this little bitty time frame, right? Like, aww. In the amount of time it takes to check out at Dollar General with 3 items. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? And then she goes, well, yeah, I do. It's been good so far. And I like meeting nice people like you. You know, she's being kind back to Malin. And Malin's like, well, you're very pretty. And I like your earrings. And she's just talking to her, right? And she's not doing this in some forced way to share Jesus, right? You know what I mean? Right. Like, she's just genuinely likes this woman, and she's just being kind to this random stranger. Now, this person ain't going to be a stranger because we go into this Dollar General all the time. It's the one near our house, right?
Yeah.
So there's going to be a friendship that's going to form, I guarantee you. But she's just talking to her. And then the lady, so Malin says to her, you know, like, do you like working here? You know, and then Malin goes, how was your day today? And she goes, well, I'm on the evening shift, so I've been here for a while. I get off in about 2 hours, but it's been a good day, blah, blah. And the lady comes right back with, how was your day? Right? And I don't think this is like, I don't know. I feel like the woman feels cared for from this little kid.
Yeah. Right?
Just in this brief interaction. And so then Malin immediately then says back to her, it was a great day. I've been at church all day. My daddy's a pastor. Guess what happened today at church? Today at church, this woman named Kiwi, who comes from the Philippines, she was rescued out of poverty by a Christian. And we today got to rescue some other kids out of poverty, right? Because we love Jesus. I mean, she starts going off,
oh
right?
Oh, my gosh.
I'm crying.
I'm about to cry right now.
Right? She starts going off, and she's just sharing this naturally. Mm-hmm. And I don't know where this woman stands with her faith at all. But whatever Madeline is saying, this woman is into. And she was like, really? That's what you did at church today? That's what your church does? And Madeline's like,
wow.
Yeah. Madeline's like, yeah, we prove it. and she says, what do you mean? And she goes, well, I mean, we don't just say we believe. Like, we're going to do something about it. And, you know, we can't let kids not have food, right? We're going to help. You
know, like, oh, my
gosh. It was the coolest thing in the world, right?
Wow.
And then we checked out, and they said goodbyes to each other. And Malin told her thank you, and the lady told her thank you so much for talking to me. And then we left. Like, I know that that's a random public interaction, which is not really what I'm talking about here. You're not really talking about just random interactions with strangers. But
it applies.
But it's there was a care, and it was what I'm trying to say is it's just a recent example of caring for somebody, being genuinely interested in them, opens up natural ways for you to share your life, your faith in an unforced, not weird way, right? Because if you care for somebody in their life and they know that you care, you have opportunities to share. The formula here is care before you share, right? Now, that's a quick little interaction, but I guarantee you, because I know my daughter, and by the way, I can't take no credit for this. We ain't taught her this, right? I don't do this. Like that thing in public like that, I don't do that.
Right.
I'm just in and out. Hey, I'm nice. I'm kind. If somebody talks to me, I'll talk back, but I'm not initiating those conversations. You know, we just talked about this before. I'm an extreme introvert. You know what I mean? Like I will engage those conversations, but I'm not going to initiate them. I guarantee you that when we go back in there, Madeline's going to talk to that woman again. She's going to ask her again about how her day's going. She's going to ask her if she still likes her job. She's going, you know, she's going to care. She's going to actually care about her. And when you actually care for someone, then you get natural ways to talk about your faith. Not these forced, contrived, got to have the best segue, got to make sure I steer the conversation, these things that make it more awkward and harder to bring up your faith. The reason here is it's not easy to bring up the conversation. The only way you can make it easy to bring up the conversation about faith in Jesus is if you care for someone deeply and then you naturally are able to share. And the reason that you will be allowed to share your life with them is because you are caring about and asking them to share your life with you. Right? Share their life with you. Like, that's the whole purpose. The only real way you can get rid of the awkwardness is by leading with a lot of care. Really investing. We call this, at Union, we call this invest and invite, right? Invest, and I don't mean invest in someone and invite them to church. I mean invest in someone and then invite them into a relationship with Jesus, right? But you have to do the investing first. You don't just try to push somebody into Jesus. You have to invest in their lives. Care, then share. Invest in someone before you invite them into a relationship with Jesus.
That's right. Right?
You gotta show that care. That's what real friendship looks like. You be like Jesus. What does Jesus do? Right? We talked about this in the last episode. He cares deeply, and then he shares. He invests. Like, people know that he is caring for them, you know, before they can actually listen about following him, right? There's this care before share thing. And I think that this is one of the coolest things about Jesus. So like last episode, we talked about the Luke 19:10, the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Jesus tells you his purpose. And that's supposed to be our purpose. But what's really cool is that Jesus is known in his time on earth through all these people. And they say it in a bad way, but he is known as friend of sinners, right? Friend of sinners. Not the guy who tells you how wrong you are, right? Not the guy who is, Jesus is not known as the guy who's looking to steer the conversation towards himself, right? He's not the one who's looking to listen to you for a minute just enough so you can hear him. It's not, notice also that he's not known as preacher of sinners, preacher to sinners, right? He's known as friend of sinners. And there's two spots you see this. It's the exact same story found in Matthew and in Luke. So if you want to read it later, it's Matthew 11 right in the middle, and then it's Luke 7 right in the middle. And it's this section of scripture where they're coming to tell them that John the Baptist has this question. Well, John the Baptist is in jail. He's in prison. He's got this question, right? And all these people are talking, and Jesus ends up saying, y'all, you didn't listen to John the Baptist when he told you that I'm coming. And he didn't eat and he didn't drink. And you said you didn't listen to him because he didn't eat and drink. Then Jesus comes along. The Son of Man comes along, Jesus says. And I'm eating and I'm drinking. And you call me a drunkard. And you call me friend of sinners. So Jesus is quoting that obviously it's common knowledge that everybody is referring to him as friend of sinners. So in other words, while Jesus is walking on earth, what is his reputation? His reputation is that he is friend of sinners. He's friend of sinners. I'm stressing friend, right? Mm-hmm. Not preacher to sinners, but friend to sinners. If you want to get rid of the awkwardness of this, you have to be friend to sinners, not preacher to sinners, right? Not person who is trying to proselytize sinners, right? Or evangelize sinners. You're friend to sinners. In other words, friends you're actually genuinely caring about and investing in people who are far from God, right? And if you do that, if you become friend of them, then you can share with them, right? And this is the way that true evangelism looks. And if we would live this, we wouldn't need any of the rest of these excuses we have come up with or reasons we've come up with why we don't share our faith. If we would actually live this, if we would actually see people, as humans, and love and care and invest in them, show up in their lives, they will listen to what you have to say. And not only that, they will model you. They will watch what you do and how you do it. You know, you got to invest in people's lives and care for them. You know, you find out that somebody, you know, you befriend somebody. What do you do with a friend? Like, if you have somebody who's a friend, Steph, and they got something going on in their lives. Let's just say you have a friend and they have something positive going on in their lives. What do you do?
Celebrate.
Yeah.
And I talk to them.
And they got a. Let's just say you have a friend in your life who has an important event coming up. You show up to.
You be there.
Right. Yeah. You be there. You show up. Right. That's caring. That's how you treat a friend. You show up and you hang out. Right. You got a friend who is, you know, like, I mean, we were just doing this the other night, so. Two nights ago, we have some people who become very dear friends to us, whose daughter is good friends with Olivia, and that's how we met and connected, and they become really close friends. And you know what they did a year ago? On Olivia's senior night at volleyball, her volleyball senior night a year ago, they showed up, man. They showed up to support her. They go to Tunstall. We're Dan River. Dan River and Tunstall hate each other. They come to Dan River and they root on Olivia, right? They cared. Aww. They shared. So you know what we did this year? When their daughter had her senior night last week, we rolled into Tunstall and we cheered and celebrated and cared. You know what I mean? We cared for them, right? We cared for them. That's what you do with friends.
That's right.
You show up. And so when you see Jesus say, Jesus' reputation is friend of sinners. It's his reputation. Means that people know him as, oh, that's the dude. What do they mean when they say that? That's the dude who hangs out with sinners. That's the dude who spends time with sinners. That's the dude who cares for sinners. He's the one showing up for them. That's who Jesus is. So you and I have got to befriend people who are outside the faith and care for them and show up, right? If you know somebody in your life right now who you are befriending, you're becoming their friend, and they don't know Christ, you start showing up and caring for them. When something happens that's bad, so something good happens, you care and you show up and you celebrate, like you said a minute ago. Something bad happens, you care and you show up and you love and you show concern. You know what I mean? Like, you care for them. And then you will have natural opportunities to share that are not laced with awkwardness and it being, you know, cumbersome and these awkward segues where I'm trying to just share my faith. The end game is not to let me share my faith. That's not the end game. The end game is to have a relationship with somebody that you love and care for them, that they see the love and care that you have for them, and they're able to put together that the love and care you have for them is coming from your relationship with Jesus. That's the end game. And whether they decide to follow Christ or not is up to them. It's not on you. You can't make it happen anyway, right? You can't save nobody. You can't convince anybody. You can't convict anybody. Those aren't your jobs. Those are the jobs of the Holy Spirit. But your job in the end is to love and care for someone so much that they know and they put two and two together that the reason that you love and care for them so much is because of how much you love Jesus. And how much Jesus has changed your life. And it makes you love people well. It makes you a friend of sinners. One of the best things you can do to share your faith is befriend somebody who does not believe. They know that you know that they don't believe, and yet you still love and care for them. And I fully believe that eventually someday they will know, or they will be faced with the decision of, I might want to follow Jesus, because if this is how followers of Jesus look and act and treat people, if they're friends of sinners, then I want to be like this. You know, this is probably my favorite episode of the whole thing, because it just builds into something that I think is absolutely doable, and a ways that makes this absolutely natural and not forced and not cumbersome and not icky, right? If you want to remove the icky from sharing and evangelizing the gospel, you care, then share. Care, then share. Invest, then invite. That's the key. What do you think?
I think it's great. And I'm just proud of Madeline.
Wasn't that a cool story?
It's a really cool story, because she is like that. She makes, conversations I've had with her over many times, she just says things and you feel seen.
That's
her gift.
She has done this since she was a baby. So yeah. Since she could talk, everywhere we've said this on the podcast before, everywhere we go in public, she finds something about the person that's like waiting on us or checking us out of the store or wherever, or just standing in line. She finds something about them and tells them how much she likes it. She'll look at, and you know what's funny is she'll pick things as a kid that adults would look at that person and stick their nose up in the air, right? Like I can't tell you how many times she's looked at somebody who's covered in tattoos and said, "I love your tattoo of the dolphin right there." You know, she just pointed out. Or she'll see somebody who has crazy hair. You know what I mean? I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm just saying somebody who has crazy hair.
Something with different, yeah.
Yeah, it's just different. You know, like it's green and pink or it's wild. You know what I mean? It's different. And she'll go, "I love the color of your hair." Like this one time we were around this lady, and this lady had fingernails. Now, Madeline loves fingernails. But this lady had fingernails that, Steph, they had to be 3 inches long. I mean, they were gigantic. I don't know how she functioned. You know what I mean? Like, I'm looking at that going, how do you use your phone? How do you wipe your butt? Madeline looks at it and goes, "I love your nails. They're so pretty." And all these people, when she says, she depicts these things, all these people go are like, "Well, thank you." And they're not like just saying thank you. Like, it's like that they're
touched by it.
Yeah, because it's like she's picking something that is something nobody else would like. But she's not doing this intentionally. She's just naturally caring for the people. She's just seeing something and affirming them. It's not forced. It's just real. You know what I'm saying? It's just real. And kids do that way, right? Kids are like that. And they'll come back. You know what's funny is a kid can hang out with another kid that they've never met before for 30 minutes while their parents are talking or, you know, at some event or some family thing. And when you get in the car, they'll go, "That's my new best friend," right? "This is my best friend." I'm like, you've known them for 30 minutes. But they just begin to really care and befriend people. And that's the key. The key is caring for people that God places in your life, especially those that are far from God. And loving them well, caring for them well, being there for them, and then you'll have natural opportunities to share. That's the key.
Yay.
Yeah. Now the last episode that we're getting ready to do, 225, is going to be the reason that nobody thinks of or why they don't share the gospel, the big overarching reason for all of us. That's the one we're going to get into next, and I'll wrap the whole thing up. And then we got to figure out what the heck we're doing next, because I don't know what we're doing next.
I can't wait.
I don't have any clue what we're doing next, so we'll see. But the next one really convicted me hard, and it's not one you're going to list. So we'll do that, and then we'll figure out what happens next on the podcast.
Yes.
So we got what? You got a couple more weeks of this series, and that's it.
Yeah.
And it's now 8 o'clock at night, and Steph and I are done.
Yep.
Been a long day. We always record on Mondays because it's what works best for the schedule, but I hate Mondays. I'm so fried from Sundays that I just hate Mondays.
That's valid. That's valid.
But I feel, once we do this though, I feel much better. But it takes till 8 o'clock at night for me to feel better on Mondays. So this sets up my Tuesday well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So.
At least you can acknowledge that.
Yeah, and now all I can think about is not going home and eating leftover pot roast, because I don't want that, and we still got it.
Yeah, me and Jonathan, we already ate before we came here, so we're just going to go grocery shopping.
I just don't want leftover pot roast. I don't like pot roast.
I like pot roast.
I just don't like it. Anywho, that's all we got.
Let's segue
this thing out, Steph.
All right, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, guys. See you later.
See ya.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us on the Messy Walk Podcast with Pastor Adam Cook. Make sure to follow us for future episodes that will be posted regularly each Wednesday. Have a good day.